Okay, so we're learning this week about the Indian of Tfilas Kehillah on Shabbos, and the discussion is based on the Gemara that we've been learning in Daf Yud Ches and Beitza about the four reasons why one cannot be Tovel Kehillim that are Tameh. You have to just keep in mind that the Sugya is talking about Kehillim that are Tameh, and you want to be Matar them, and we're using that to discuss Tfilah of Kehillim Chadashim, what we know as Tfilas Kehillim, buying brand new Kehillim from a goy, that requirement of doing tefillah. That's not in the discussion of the Gemara, that's what the Rishonim talk about. So just to review quickly, the four explanations as to why you can't do tefillas kelim of a keli that's tameh on Shabbos, the Gemara explains, either shema yitlenu biyado v'yavirenu dal amos, lest you come to carry it outside an eruv for amos, so they said don't do tefillas kelim of kelim tameh. The second reason the Gemara suggests is Rav Yosef, because schita, because kelim don't only include pots and pans, kelim also refer to clothing, which a person could wring out, which could lead to schita. And the third reason is shema yishe, maybe you're going to delay. You say, listen, I'm very busy, I'm working, and comes Yantif and Shabbos, I'm off, so I'll make it to the mikveh then. And by you leaving your house for a number of weeks or months, so if I have kelim that are tameh, my house, I might come to use tshuma or taros and be metame them, and it's going to cause some problems. So we don't want it to be delayed. So don't wait till yontif. You do tefillah the soonest possible moment. And the fourth reason, which is really going to be the focus of our sugya, is the opinion of Rava b'pnei shenira kimetakin kli. When a person takes kelim that are tame and you put it into the mikvah, and now you are metaret, you've just fixed something. It's tikkun mana, you've changed something. There's some form of a malacha, there are banan. And therefore, tikkun mana is the driving force as to why you can't be tovel kelim tamem. So that was the four sevaras of the Gemara. So how does that apply to kelim chadashim? So we saw the Rush already. The Rush made an interesting observation that the Rif brought down only two of the reasons. He only brought down the reason of schita, why you can't tovel kelim tamem, because you might squeeze it. And the reason of perhaps you're going to delay, shema yisha, you're going to delay bringing it to the mikvah. Now, he points out for the Rif, well, why is the Rif bringing this down entirely? Because it's not Nogei Bizman is that. The Rif's object, what the Rif tried to accomplish, he cut out all Shaklatarias, all things that are not Nogeya, only Halacha Maisa down to the bottom line. If you learn just the Rif, there's much less daf and a Rif in this Gemara, but there's a third, a quarter of the dapim in the Rif than there are in the actual Gemara. And, Gemara's like Zvachim and Menachos have no Rif, because it wasn't relevant. So Rif cut all the Agata out as well, and it was made in such a way you could just learn Halacha L'maisa, similar to what the Rambam tried to accomplish as well, but the Rif just used the language of the Gemara, and the Rambam actually, he paskened on everything, even that which is not Nogei L'maisa. But that's what was the accomplishment of the Rif. Now it's interesting to note, just as a side point, whenever the Rush quotes from the Gemara, he's actually quoting from the Rif. All the Rush's commentary, he's only commenting really on the Rif. Now, it doesn't appear that way. But take a look, if you just look at the Gemara he quotes and the Mishnah quotes, it's only that which appears in the Rif. So he's really building off the same idea as the Rif when he was trying to add his halacha, his halachic work. That's why when the Beis Yosef, this is all an aside, the Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch paskind, the Shulchan Aruch, he says, I'm picking from the three major works, which are the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rush, and for the most part, wherever two out of three say a certain way, that's how Paskin. Now, that's, there are exceptions, of course, but that was his basic mahalach and Paskining, the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rush, and the majority, whoever two or three, that's how I'll Paskin for the most part. But that's what the Rif was accomplishing. So why the Rif bring these different svaras down, if we're talking about Kalim Timayim, which are not Nogeya at all, Bizman Azeh, anything that's not Nogeya, the Rif just throws out the window. So that was the question of the Rush.
Kelim
Tameim
or Kelim
Chadashim? Kelim Tameim. That's our talking about Kelim Tameim. So the Rush says, I really think the reasons of the Gemara why you can't be Tovel Kelim Tameim is because of the other reasons of Tikkun Mana and because of the other Svara was Shema Yavirenu Dal Amos Barabim, Bishus Rabim. Those are two reasons why the Rush thinks is that it's why it's Usher to be Tovel Kelim Tameim. So that's all the Rush. And the Rush is, according to how I paskin, that the reason is you might carry it outside an Erev. And also because it's like a tikkun mana. So the Rush concludes, I think it's also to also tovel kelim chadashim. What we call tefillas kelim, the Rush thinks it's aser because you might carry it on Shabbos outside an Erev. En, because when you put it into the mikvah, you're fixing it. You're doing tikkun mana. What's halacha? If I have a brand new pot, I can't use it. It's also to use. So by me putting it in the mikvah, I'm matir. I've just changed something. I was what's called tikkun mana. That's the understanding of the Rush. So let's talk in general. I want to go through the general discussion of Tfilas Kelim. I want to then talk about Tfilas Ger on Shabbos and Tfilas Nida as well on Shabbos. It all goes back to this question of whether there's a tikkun mana, whether there's a matir, or no, there's simply a mitzvah. So the discussion really begins on whether or not Tfilas Kelim is deraisa or derabanan. If I were to ask any of you guys, without knowing any background, is Tfilas Kelim deraisa or derabanan, I would imagine you would all say it's a mitzvah deraisa. That's what I would think. That's what I would say. I would think you'd say the same thing. I could be wrong. But assuming we didn't know anything about Tfilas Kelim, I would think it's a mitzvah. But it's interesting that there's only one of the Monei HaMitzvos. We know there's a list of Rishonim that counted 613 mitzvahs. They all have their own approach. The Rambam tells you his different reasons why he counts mitzvahs, why he doesn't count mitzvahs. The Rambam doesn't count it as a mitzvah. The Smag, the Sefer Mitzvos HaGadol, does not count it as a mitzvah. There is a Sefer called Sefer Yireim. We've discussed him before, Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz. The Yireim does something interesting. I don't know why he does this. Everyone has their own way of categorizing as well. So, for example, the Rambam does Mitzvot Aseh and Mitzvot Los Aseh. The Yireim has, I think, 7 amudim, it's called. He categorizes by, you know, Ra'al Shemaim, Ra'al Brios. So if it's the Ben Adam L'Chavero, Ben Adam L'Makom, he has to talk about an Isser Achila, different types of categories. It's fascinating. But if you count all the mitzvahs he includes, he doesn't count 630 mitzvahs. He kind of like leaves off 150, I think, or so. I don't know why, but that's just an observation. The Yireim does not count Tfilas Kelim as a mitzvah. The only one that I'm aware of that counts Tfilas Kelim as a mitzvah is the Smak. The Smak is a Sefer Mitzvot HaKatan, which includes all 630 mitzvahs, but it's a very small book. I have it at home as a Sefer, and just very short ideas on each mitzvah. He's the only one that counts it actually as a mitzvah. So, is it a mitzvah or is it not? Is it deraisa or is it derabanan?
That's a separate question.
Right, they can relate, but they also can be separate as well. Very good. So, you could have a deraisa concept that's still not a mitzvah. So, well, now the smak who does count as a mitzvah, certainly it's a deraisa, and it's also a mitzvah. So now, what's the shita of the Rambam? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Machalos Asuros, Perek Yudzayin. Now, he has two very important lines of words. He says, Tvila zu, this tvila, shemat bilin kli asuda hanokacha min ha'akum, that you buy from ha'akum, v'achar kach yutru l'achila, afterwards is permitted for achila shtia. So that line, yutru, is very important. Yutru is lashon mutter. After you've done Tfilas Kelim, it's now mutter. The Rambam is telling you that this is a matir, not a mitzvah, it's a matir. So either there's a mitzvah in the Tfilas Kelim, or no, you're being matir that which was usher beforehand. So I'll give you an example. That shaking lulav. Lulav's not a matir. It's a mitzvah to shake a lulav. It's not matir me any iser. It's just there's a mitzvah. Tefillin. There's a mitzvah of wearing tefillin, but it's not a matir. It's not permitting something usher. So the Rambam says Tfilas Kelim is matir that which is usher. So that's one important point. It's matir versus a mitzvah. And second thing, the Rambam says eino l'inin tumah v'tara. It's nothing to do with tumah v'tara. This concept of Tfilas Kelim that we talk of, ela midivrei sofrim. So it's divrei sofrim, which I spoke to a few of you about this in the Seder. That the Rambam's use of divrei sofrim is a very tricky term. It's ambiguous. Sometimes it means deraisa, sometimes it means derabanan, and there's no really way to figure it out. Rambam had a son, Rav Avram ben Avram, Rav Avram ben Arambam. He has a number of tshuvas, he discusses with divrei sofrim, and many thought that the Rav Avram ben Arambam didn't really understand his father's mahalchim in general, so it's unclear how to categorize divrei sofrim. And then after saying Divrei Sofrim, he says, V'remez lo, there's a remez to this idea. And he quotes the remez, and mipia shmua. So it's unclear from the Rambam whether or not this is a deraisa or whether it's a derabanan, but it is pretty clear it's a matir. It's a matir versus a mitzvah. So now let's talk for a second. What's the relevance whether something's a matir or a mitzvah? Who really cares about that? So one possible nafkamina is whether you count this as a mitzvah or not. If it's a mitzvah, I count it as 613 mitzvahs. That's a smak. If it's a matir, so at first glance, you might not want to count it as a mitzvah, which would work out for the Rambam. He doesn't count it as a mitzvah, and yet he calls it a matir. But I know what B'dam is thinking right now. That's not true. We have many examples of a matir that are counted as a mitzvah. So, for example, shechita. Shechita, the machlokas, big machlokas, Ramam, Ravid, Tosos, and Shavuos, that shechita is a matir or is a mitzvah. When I shecht an animal, is it a mitzvah? I want to eat the animal. It's a mitzvah I need to do. Or is the shechita being matir an isser? What was the isser? So some say it's an isser of Avram and Achai. Some say it's an isser of Nevela. What could have been an isser of Nevela? My shechita is a matir. So you do have examples where even that which is a matir can be counted as a mitzvah. So it's not so clear that that question of counting as a mitzvah connects to the matir and mitzvah discussion. But either way, we see that this is an important thing. So number one is Tfilas Kelim Deraisa Derabanan. Number two is whether or not it's a matir or mitzvah. So now, the Kesef Mishnah says that he quotes the Rashba, who thinks that the whole mitzvah of Tfilas Kelim is only a din derabanan. So this is just making it clear the different shitas, and we'll connect this hopefully in just a second. And according to the Rambam, the Rashba thinks it's deraisa. He thinks the usage of the word mipi shmua is indicating that it's mipur shmua. But I have a halacha mosh misinai that this concept of tfilas kelim is a mitzvah deraisa. Even though there's no clear cut pasuk, it still goes back to a deraisa. Okay. So the question becomes, how does this impact the halacha of being tovel on Shabbos or not? So, yeah.
So, and the Rambam's talking about the pasuk where they got the biza and they're putting it through the fire. So, he's saying that tefillah for kelim is a remez. But would that pasuk be saying that that kelim chadashim are daraisa to?
So he's talking about kelim chadashim. This is the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, the Daf Ayin Gimel Beis, I think it is. Quotes this pasuk. The Rambam didn't make this pasuk up. The Gemara says, from the word v'taher, tells me you need a tara, which is tefilas kelim. The question is that really the source, or is that just a remez? So the Rambam says that's only a remez to it, but it's not really the source.
But for the tavir ba'esh, that's deraisa, right?
That tavir ba'esh is for referring to hagalas kelim. Hagalas kelim, hagala, and libun, that's what the Gemara is talking about. That's a source that when you have a treif pot that was with liquid, you need to boil it out. And the treif pot that was with esh, you need to burn it out.
That part is
deraisa. That's deraisa, but the tahir, that the Gemara Darshan means tahara in a mikvah. So that's the question. But it's not talking about tumah v'tahara, it's talking about kelim chadashim, brand new kelim that you purchased from a non-Jew. So how did...
That's not tumah and tahara. What is that?
It's unclear what it is. They talk about it. It's hard to categorize what it is. It might just simply be exeis hakasav. The Yushalmi says it's some level of a spiritual... Well, tumah is all spiritual, but there's no real tumah. But there's just, when Goyim owns something, there's some different type of tumah that exists, but not the tumah that we talk of. It's a, I don't know how to categorize it, but it's very unclear.
One of the sources you quoted
said,
called it
Tosefes
Kedusha.
Yeah, exactly. One is called Tosefes, adding Kedusha to it.
Could it be separated?
But it seems that there's something a little bit deeper going on. Either adding Kedusha or moving some type of tumah from them, or just simply a Gzeiros HaKasav. And these are important questions to address as well.
What does that mean, simply?
The Torah says do it, you have to do it. No. Why? We don't know why.
But is there an issue?
No, it's not. To my understanding, it's not a Avodah Zarah issue.
Not
kasher. Yeah,
not kasher. They don't mean to imply some usage for Avodah Zarah when they say that. There's an interesting, I forget which source said that. Not Lashon, Ge'ule Akum.
Yeah.
It said Akum, not Nachri or Yehudi or whatever. And like the Lashon Goel, I don't know, Moshe and I were talking about
right.
There was an implication that there was some scent of Avodah Zarah that these dishes might have been involved in. Maybe you put food in front of an idol on these dishes. I don't know, and you're just getting rid of that.
But then you have to be mechalik between, let's say, Christians and Muslims. And we don't have such a chilek. You know, Muslims are not over Avodah Zarah, and yet we still have to be metar them. So it'd be very difficult to say it's based on Avodah Zarah.
But you didn't say that's what's implied by that lashon.
I don't think so. No, the word akum is is really interchanged with goyim. Often, even though akum means of the kochavim, it's really interchanged with the word goy. It's hard to really medayik how that word's used akum versus the word goy.
And the lashon geule just by the fact that it's by non-Jews.
Exactly. Yeah. So now, just to pull out the line, Binyamin pointed out that at the end of that same Rambam, we mentioned that Amru Chachamim Hosiv Lo Tahara Acher Averasa Beish. You have to add a Tara. So somehow the Tfilas Kelim is adding infusing it with Tara or Kedusha, or it's removing some level of Tumah. But it's hard to know. Yeah, but it's hard to know exactly. Yeah. So it's hard to know exactly what's being accomplished here. Again, it's an important point, but it is ambiguous. So what's the relevance here of whether it's deraisa, derabanan versus matir and a mitzvah? So let's go to the Be'er Halacha. The Be'er Halacha says that this question of matir versus mitzvah is going to dictate to us whether you could do this on Shabbos or not. Because if what we're accomplishing with Tfilas Kelim is really being matir and iser, so then you're changing something on Shabbos. It's tikkun mana. And therefore it would be usher to do Tfilas Kelim. But if all you're doing is just a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah of Tfilas Kelim, and that mitzvah tells me I need to put it in the mikvah, so you can do mitzvahs on Shabbos. And therefore, this question of it being tovel on Shabbos is taloi on whether it's an inyan of tikkun mana, or whether or not it's simply a mitzvah ba'ama. I'm not going to go through all the sources here, but the Ohr Zeruah and the Hagos Maimonios and the Ravya all clearly say it's a mitzvah, not a matir, and other Yishrom say it's a matir. So it exists in the Yishrom, hopefully you got to see some of the sources, but just to bring out the Halach L'maisa, it's taloi on whether or not it's a matir, or it's a mitzvah, being tovel on Shabbos. Now there is another nafkamina that the Rishon bring down, whether it's a matir or a mitzvah. And that is whether or not you should say a bracha on Tfilas Kelim. So this too is not a clear-cut nafkamina. So the Rambam we just saw doesn't mention anything about a bracha. That halacha was the Rambam bringing it down, and nowhere else does he mention anything about a bracha. However, and the Rashba actually learns, it must be from the Rambam, there's no bracha on Tfilas Kelim. But if you look at the Ritva and others say that there is a bracha on Tfilas Kelim. So what's machlokas whether there's a bracha or not a bracha? So they say that's telling whether it's a mitzvah or a matir. If it's a mitzvah, so I need to say bracha on every mitzvah. I say bracha on tefillin and talis and lulav and sukkah. But if it's simply a matir without there being a mitzvah attached to it, so I would not say a bracha on that which is simply a matir alone. And that's why the Rambam says there is no bracha.
Why is it so clear that a matir is not a mitzvah? Isn't that doing something?
But you're accomplishing something. This is true. You are accomplishing something. But there are many rules as to how we count mitzvahs. So I'm trying to think of an example of being matir and iser where we don't say, where there is no mitzvah.
Different than hechsher mitzvah?
It's different than hechsher mitzvah is preparing for a mitzvah to come. Matir is you're just being matir something, an isser, you're moving an isser. Maybe something like, I don't know if this is a mitzvah or not, it's not a fair example, but a faras nadarm. If I take a neder, I do a taras nadarm, or a faras nadarm, I end my neder, I'm matir the neder. So I wonder, there's a mitzvah of the Rambam, I think it's nadarm, all halachas of nadarm. But being matir neder, a taras nadarm itself isn't a mitzvah, it's matir an isser to me. Where let's say, this is not a good example, but let's say I have a drop of milk that falls into my meat, so that's aser. But if there's 60 times, so that's it's mutter. All that's mutter. There's no mitzvah bittel. Now that's not a great example, but we have sometimes where isurim could go away. The Torah tells you the halacha is that this is matter that, but that doesn't become a mitzvah. That just becomes a reality of halachic system. So there are better examples that just not coming to my mind right now. But you can see a distinction between a matir and there actually being a fulfillment of a mitzvah.
So
you have examples where there's a matir that's also a mitzvah. So which is driving which? So gerushin, it certainly is matir. Here's a good, just as a funny one, not that funny, but is death. Is death a mitzvah? Obviously not. A reason I'm bringing up is, people die when they die, because you mentioned get. So get is matir, an ashes ish, to marry someone. So a misa is also matir in Eishes Ish. So it's a matir, though it's not a mitzvah. I'll tell you an interesting, I've perhaps shared this in the past, a fascinating Chumash HaDeshen and Rav Chan Wasserman.
Is that so
on, clear that it's on one second. On one second. Well, hold on. So one second. So the Chumash HaDeshen asks the following question. It says, Eliyahu Navi, when he never died, right? He just disappeared. He vanished. So he raises the question, whatever happened to the wife of Eliyahu Navi? Is she mutter or is she not mutter? And there was never a get, and there was never a misa. So what's the status? And he said, the Tshuvas Hadeshin, by the way, he was one of the later Rishonim. He wrote his own Tshuvas. He wrote to himself. Right? He didn't send them in the mail, but he wrote questions and he answered the questions. So one of the questions he says, maybe you're going to tell me I'm only writing halachic work. And what's a Nogela Maisa? He says, perhaps someone could be Zocha to the same level of Eliyahu Navi and not die. He said, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, apparently. Also, he disappeared and he reached such a level. So even though you and I are unlikely to ever reach such a level, perhaps in history someone will get that level and just disappear. So if a guy disappears, what happens to his wife?
There was an aide by Eliyahu. At least
it was an aide. He was an aide. He missed it. He turned around. And even if he was an aide,
he didn't see him go up.
He turned around and the cloak was just left behind him. Even if he did see him, he saw him vanish. What's vanishing? Is vanishing Misa? Who knows what? We don't know what it is. So he said what?
Ultimate.
So what happened? So Tshuva Sadeshin says it depends on what the nature of Misa is. Is Misa a matir like a Gershon and you need a Misa Misa? Or do you have to, Misa mean just you're not around anymore. You don't exist. So he didn't die, but he doesn't exist. So it depends on whether it's about not existing, the totsah. Well, Eliyahu's not here. There's no husband.
Of course he's still.
No, he disappeared. He became something. We don't know what he became. But Malach, there's a fascinating Chassam Sofer that talks about Eliyahu Navi. Sometimes, there's a question in Halacha whether or not you could paskin based on what Eliyahu Navi says. We say, Loba Shemayim here. He doesn't decide. So we decide. And sometimes the certain Gemaras indicate we paskin like what Eliyahu Navi says. So the Chassam Sofer says there are two dinim in Eliyahu Navi. Sometimes he comes back in the world in the form of a person. We've heard stories about like an old man, like a poor man coming in, and it turned out it was Eliyahu Navi. And other times he comes in the form of a malach, says the Chassam Sofer. So depending what form he comes in, that defines whether we could paskin like him or not. If he comes as a malach, we don't listen to him. We listen to him in terms of advice, but not psak halacha. We don't listen to him. That's lo b'shemayim.
Because a malach, he might be paskin as a posek.
Nope.
Not as a
malach is considered lo b'shemayim, but if he comes as a person, so then we could paskin like it. Fine. So either way, I'm saying all this because Misa is a matir, perhaps, and it's not a mitzvah. So you're suggesting maybe it is a mitzvah. It might be a mitzvah of kavura sames, but there's no mitzvah of dying. That's part of reality. But it's not a no one counts Misa as one of the 613 mitzvahs.
What if someone dies, we have to ace Hashem, all your soul? When Rabbi Akiva said, I'm waiting my whole life.
It's Mesiris Nefesh. That's a dying on Kiddush Hashem. It's a different mitzvah, Kiddush Hashem. That's not a mitzvah of dying. A person dies 120, he's dead. They didn't chalk up just a new mitzvah there. That was just the reality of his life.
No, I mean, certain ways of dying, not always.
See,
they say bracha, but they know they're going to die with Kiddush Hashem.
Yeah, there's a discussion, the Agra talks about this. Say, there was the great Ger Tzedek, who converted, and then the Christians wanted to kill him. Because he converted, he refused to convert back. And he asked, I believe it was the Gra, whether he should say a bracha and Kiddush Shemayim. And Moser Nefesh and Gra Paskin, yes. And he said a bracha before they killed him.
What's the bracha dynamis?
That's a difference. So that's when something bad happens.
Insane, no?
Yeah, but it's a different discussion. That's a different. Let's get back. But it's a different topic. Let's get back now to Tfilas Kelim. Tfilas Kelim. So we have, again, a question whether it's matir or whether or not it's a mitzvah. And the Ber Lacha says that is going to tell you whether you could do this on Shabbos or whether you can't do this on Shabbos. If it's a matir, again, you can't do it on Shabbos because it's tikkun mana. If it's simply a mitzvah, you are allowed to do this on Shabbos. Now, the Avnei Nezer takes an interesting approach as well, which is very important in Halacha L'maaseh. The Avnei Nezer writes that he thinks it's only a mitzvah. Tfilas Kelim is a mitzvah. There's no iser involved in not doing Tfilas Kelim. If I, lichachila, we say don't use Kelim without tefillah, but really there's no iser involved. There's no matir, there's no iser. Tfilas Kelim is simply a mitzvah. So he talks about, let's say you're in a situation where you can't do Tfilas Kelim. It's just impossible. The case he says is that, let's say you have where there's no mikveh around, I believe that is the case. There's no mikveh around, so just use the kelim. There's no iser. And if there's an iser involved in using kelim, so no matter what, I can't violate an iser. I can't do an iser because I have no option. You can't violate an iser no matter what. Nothing should get in the way of an iser unless it's pikuach nefesh. So he says, no, there's no iser of not doing tefillas kelim. There's no iser of using the kelim. And since it's only a mitzvah, if you're stuck in a situation where there's no mikvah, so then you could go ahead and use the item nonetheless. And he brings a raya from a case which itself is arguable by tzitzis on Shabbos. If I have a four-corner garment, we know there's a mitzvah to put tzitzis on. And I can't walk around without tzitzis on four corners. Well, let's say it's on Shabbos. Shabbos, I've got a four-cornered garment. Let's say it's the only shirt I have. And I have no tzitzis on it. I have tzitzis in my drawer. I can tie the tzitzis on. So am I allowed to put it on Shabbos? Certainly not. Why can't I put tzitzis on Shabbos? Because it's kosher. So now, does that mean I can't because wear my kosher? Tying. Malach of tying. So now let's say I, now can I not wear that shirt on Shabbos? I have four corners. There's no tzitzis on it. So the Mordechai says that you're allowed to wear that shirt on Shabbos. Why? Because since I'm not able to tie the tzitzis on, so I'm stuck, so I could wear the four-cornered garment. So that's an example that it's the mitzvah of tzitzis is a mitzvah, but it's not a matir. It's not an iser involved. I just, if I have tzitzis available, I wear them. If I don't have tzitzis available, I could wear the begadim without the tzitzis. Yes, so that's why it's a machlokas. But the Mordechai assumes there's no iser by wearing a four-cornered garment. Is there's a mitzvah to wear with tzitzis, but if you can't do that mitzvah, so if there's no iser involved, then go ahead and wear it without the tzitzis.
Are you allowed to be mevatel
and ase? You have no choice. At this point, you have no choice. It's not even an option. You can't even tie it, and therefore, since it's not an option, it's not called a bittel. The Mordechai's language is that he says, right, Kaven to Bishabbos ain iser lilvos chalas below tzitzis. Kaven she'aser la'asos tzitzis, as you can't tie tzitzis, as muter lilvos below tzitzis. Why? Kaven she'ain iser lilvos below tzitzis. No iser to wear a four-cornered garment without tzitzis. It's a mitzvah alma. And k'she'ain a yachal la'asos mitzvah, when you can't do the mitzvah because it's Shabbos and you can't tie it, lo neser brezel levisha, levisha not aser. So too says Avni Nezer. Tfilas Kalim. If I'm in a situation where I can't do Tfilas Kalim because there's no mikvah available, so the Avni Nezer Paskin, so go ahead and use the Kalim nonetheless. There's no Isser. There's no Isser. There's no Matir. It's a mitzvah to do Tfilas Kalim.
Does this also depend on whether it's, if you, let's say it's not yours, and the other person did it to the mitzvah, it's no mitzvah for me.
So let's try to figure out what exactly is that, what is the Isser. So, the understanding is that it's usher for anyone to use it. I mean, let's say Eitan buys a new plate, and he doesn't do Tfilas Kalim. So the isser is, by the food does not become usher. It's only the usher to use the Kalim. So now Eitan's suggesting maybe the isser is only incumbent upon the owner of the dishes, and that's not true. The isser applies to anyone. I can't use it. Once you own it, there's a chiyuv Tfilas Kalim. And not only can you not use it, but no one's allowed to use that those dishes. So now it becomes very, very relevant because let's say you go to a person's house who doesn't do Tfilas Kalim, who didn't do Tfilas Kalim. So now I can eat on the utensils. But the food's all kosher. Now they say, I'm ordering from traditions, all the food's kosher, but we'll use my dishes. I got nice dishes and they're kosher, great, fine. But no, you cannot use dishes.
What? Brand new dishes.
What?
Brand new dishes.
Okay, very good. I bought brand new dishes, exactly. So like new silverware, everything, great. They're brand new, they have never been used, but the problem is there's no Tfilas Kalim now. So if a person's stuck in that situation, so Rav Moshe says you have to do the following. Now, but the assumption is the Isser applies not only to the owner, but applies to any other Jew. So Rav Moshe has the following head there. Rav Moshe says if you're really stuck, so then maybe only the Kalim that are necessary for eating and drinking are Aser. So what do you, so he says, plates are not really necessary, right? Yeah. I could put everything on the food, on the plate, on the table rather. Forks or knives, not really necessary. I could pick up the steak and eat it that way. I could pick up the potatoes with my fingers. So those are not really necessary. So using them in an extreme situation are considered allowed. That's not called using them. That's just preventing your hands from getting dirty, but that's not using them. But what you cannot use is a cup. I can't drink the water without that glass. And the water pouring on my table is going to just spill. I can't eat my soup without my bowl. So anything that is required to eat, that's called usage. And that which is not required, but just to make it nicer and neater, that would not be called usage for this purpose. But that's only if a person's stuck in this situation.
Sorry, according to the Avnei Nezer, if it's just a mitzvah.
So for the Avnei Nezer, this is all fine. Avnei Nezer who holds his whole mitzvah of Tfilas Kalim is a mitzvah ba'alma. Everything's fine here. So if you're in a situation where, they bought a new Kalim and you don't want to embarrass them, show them bias, okay, there's no answer to use them. You just missed out on a mitzvah and then it's fine. But we assume, like Rav Moshe, that you should not use them if it did not go through a Tfilas Kalim.
The embarrassment, what is that? Is that just, how serious is that?
Depends on the situation. There's a big discussion how shalom bias or busha, how that affects many areas of halacha. I'll just share with you one story that comes to mind since you asked it, having to do with kelim. There's a ma'isa, machlokas, who the ma'isa took place with. Some say Rav Elio Dessler, others say it was Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. But it was the year after their wife passed away. And that's Rav Shlomo Zalman, let's use him just to bring it to life a little bit. So the next year was Pesach. Rav Shlomo Zalman asked his talmidim to get a certain becha to use for dalat kosos. So they said, Rebbe, for the past 60 years you've been using this other becha. So he said, listen, the other becha my wife bought for me. And it wasn't really the best year. But I used it because she bought it for me. Right? Rav Dessler was okay. So for Rav Dessler. So he said, but that shear wasn't like the best shear. It was a very, very makel shear. I didn't want to embarrass her, so I used it. But now she's no longer here. I could use the proper shear. That's an example. And there are many, many other examples. There's a great ma'aser with Rav Zilberstein that, the Gemara said, actually, this week's parsha is beautiful. This week's parsha is a source of shalom bias, that you could lie for shalom bias reasons. Now, no one should do that. What's the lie? So Kadosh Baruch Hu, who's the Mid of Emes, who's the Chasim of Emes, so he says to Avram, how come Sarah said she's too old to have a baby? And the Gemara in Yevamah says, what do you mean? Sarah said that Avram was too old. She didn't say that she was too old. She accused Avram from being too old. But Hashem said, no, she was saying that she was too old. That wasn't what she said. So Gemara, one answer says, no, she said both. She said, I'm too old and he's too old. So Hashem only reported half of it. The other answer says, no, Kadosh Baruch Hu actually lied. He changed the truth. She only said that he's too old, but he didn't want to create any shalom bias here issues. So Hashem said that no, she thought she was too old. So we see for shalom bias, the Gemara says you're allowed to be mishana dvarav. Now again, before ever doing that, please ask a shayla whether you should. So I'll tell you. So based on this, there's a chacham, a guy learning in kolo. He comes home every single day for lunch, and his wife is not a good cook, and she always made lunch for him, and it was like terrible. And so one day he said, I just want to get a shawarma on the way home. I won't eat it. I really need a good meal. So he goes ahead, gets a shawarma, he gets home to his wife. His wife, for some reason this day, she prepared a magnificent feast of milchiks. Like she never, magnificent, beautiful, looked, he said, oh man, if I don't eat now, she's going to be so insulted. So he wanted to know, well, for shalom bias reasons, could I violate basa b'chalav, right? You wait 6 hours for basa b'chalav. It wasn't 5 minutes later. It was an hour later, let's say. So if you go through the sugya of basa b'chalav, so everyone should keep 6 hours, no matter what your minhag is. That should be clear. We could talk about those details afterwards. But 6 hours is really ideal, even though it's a chumrah. But really, an hour is all you have to really wait. And there's what to talk about. So he says, well, since it's been an hour since I had my shawarma, so maybe I could, for shalom bias reasons, have the milchuk now to make my wife feel good. It would be devastating to her. So Rav Zilberstein says, we never find anywhere that shalom bias is docha and iser bas b'chalav, even a chumra bas b'chalav, but we do find it's docha, you could lie a little bit. So why don't you tell her that on the way home, you went to a pidyon haben, and a pidyon haben, he had a suda, suda's a meat, suda, and then she'll understand that. It wasn't like you were trying to avoid her meal, and that way you could, for shalom bias reasons, lie a little bit. Again, be careful how you use this. Now, how do we get involved in this conversation? I don't even remember. Okay, back to the topic now.
I asked you how serious is it to embarrass somebody
or not. So anyway, so there's always ask a shayla. Sometimes you don't have time to ask a shayla. You have to use common sense, and sometimes you'll be right, sometimes you'll be wrong. But busha and shalom bias are all very, very important things to weigh when dealing with halacha. So let's get back to tefillah now.
And that don't only mean for your own home. Right. I mean, if you go to somebody's house, and it's going to mess up.
Fine. So let's get back now to two other examples of tefillah. We discussed tefillas kelim, and now there's a discussion of tefillas ger. Is a tefillas ger allowed to do tefillas of a geris on Shabbos itself? So the Be'er Lacha brings down a machlokas rishonim. Everyone agrees you can't do tefillas geris on Shabbos. The question is, why not? So the Tosa says the reason why you can't is because, you've just, it's tikkun mana. You've just changed change the status of the individual, and truth is, Tosus thinks about it. It's more of a recognition of what's going on here. The Tosus writes because you have two Tamid Chachamim who are overseeing and observing what's going on. You're making a whole big to do. But if you go back to the Gemara, I'm sorry, going backtrack for a second. The Gemara says even though a person is allowed to be Tovel in the mikvah on Shabbos, it's only because typically people go to cool off in a mikvah, right? I'm hot in summer day, I cool off, or even if it's cold, I want to clean off. So that's not, no one thinks that as a tefillah, you're able to, tikkun mana is only in the way it's observed, the way it's perceived. So therefore, since people go to cool off in the water once in a while, so then it's allowed. Now, this is actually interesting. I told you I was in Frisch yesterday, so I spoke to one of the classes. I spoke to a few different classes, but one of the classes I spoke to, they wanted to know, like, their big hang-up was, why can't you go swimming on Shabbos? I explained the whole thing about minhagim and halacha, so why can't you go swimming on Shabbos? Like, that's all they care about. Why can't you go swimming on Shabbos? I'm not going to build a raft. They're very, very chacham. I'm not building a raft. So the truth is, you're really allowed to go into the water to cool off. You are allowed to. But we don't want I don't want to tell them that, you know. It's a river. Oh, issues with a boat is like, you know, if you're in a river and it's dangerous, no one's building boats and pools. So you can't really cool up, but no one should do that. It's don't do that. It's not in the spirit of Shabbos. But either way, the reason why you're allowed to go into the mikvah is because sometimes people go in the pool to cool off. So going to the mikvah, no one thinks I'm changing, I'm tikkun mana because I'm tamei, now I'm tahor. People think, Reuven's going to cool off, and that's allowed. So therefore the Rambam says, but the Tosa says, since by tefillas ger, there are two Tamid Chacham who are watching what's going on to see the gerus process. Guys aren't watching another guy go to cool off in the mikvah. There's obviously something more serious going on. There's a tefila. And since there's a tefila going on, they asked it because of perception. That's why Tosa thought it was usher. The Rambam says the reason why it's usher to do tefillas gerus on Shabbos is because you need a bezdin. And you can't do din on Shabbos. Gerus is a real process, the real change going on here. You need a bezdin, not because of perception, but because of a bezdin. You can't have bezdin convene on Shabbos and decide halach and choshe mishpat. Reuven says, you know, he owes me money. Shimon says, no. We don't say, well, come to me on Shabbos, we'll discuss it. We don't do din Torahs on Shabbos. It's a mishnah and beitza here. So Tosus says it's because there's a real bezdin going on here, and Tosus thinks because of perception. What's going on behind the scenes, I believe, is whether tefillas geirus. How do we view tefillas geirus? Is geirus a real tikkun mana, a change of some sort? Is there more of a matir going on? Or no, there's just a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of geirus. So if you assume it's a mitzvah of geirus, then it would be permitted on Shabbos had it not been for the perception of what's going on.
It's a mitzvah.
Geirus, there's a keem of a mitzvah. A person becomes a geir, there's a keem of a mitzvah. The tefillas geirus is part of the process of the geirus, of the process that's going on here. But if it's really you're changing the person's not Jewish, now he is Jewish, there's a matya, there's a tikkun mana that's going on here, it's a bezdin that's observing what's going on, there's a real transformation, then that would be usher, regardless of the perception, that would be usher mi'ikra din, because there's a tikkun mana that's taking place. So that's one machlokas.
Perception is marasayin?
Yeah, similar to marasayin. So that's the question when it comes to tefillas geirus. Now I'll do one last question about tefillas nida. Can a woman who's in nida, can she go in the mikvah on Shabbos? And there's a big discussion of Lach Lamaisa. We paskin that she's allowed to go if everything falls out on time. But let's say it gets delayed, it's a big discussion, a person should not go on Shabbos. Why not? What's the question whether Nida, a woman in Nida should go in the mikvah or not in the mikvah on Shabbos? And the Avni Nezer says as follows. The Avni Nezer, we saw before, that says Tfilas Kalim is only a mitzvah, not a matzah, it's only a mitzvah. But by Nida is a matir. Because a woman was asr labayla and goes to the mikvah, she's now mutter labayla. So Avni Nezer said, that's a matir, it's a tikkun mana, and you can't do tikkun mana on Shabbos. While others felt, that's not a tikkun mana that's going on here. There's no tikkun mana that was going on here at all. The Indian of Tfilas Nida is simply a mitzvah ba'alma, and therefore, they say, you're allowed to go to the mikvah on Shabbos. So this very question of Tfilas Nida on Shabbos, again, there's a lot more to go through, all the different details of on time versus delaying, if it's a mila. Is there a concept of Tfilah Bismana or not a mitzvah of Tfilah Bismana, that should a woman go to the mikvah the first time she has? Some say there's a mitzvah to go Bisman. They say, no, there's no mitzvah to go Bisman. And therefore, this question really boils down to whether or not the Tfilah of Isha Nida, is that considered a matir labayla, and therefore be tikkun mana and a problem on Shabbos? Or no, there's no tikkun mana that's going on here. It's not viewed as a matir. There's a mitzvah. And just like a mitzvah you could perform on Shabbos, there's no issue with tikkun mana. That would also be the halacha by nida. We pass in the end of the day that if it's on time, if the woman, tefillas nida is a bisman, so then it's permitted. If it's delayed, so then we discourage it, and you have to ask Shabbos what goes on at that point. But we see from this that tefillas ger, tefillas nida, and tefillas kalim, the question on Shabbos or not, all depends on whether or not it's a matir or it's a mitzvah b'ama.
Is it similar then to bris milah? If it's delayed, you don't do it on...
No, that's a different reason.